Greetings and welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey, taking your phone calls, your questions, and your comments. Our guest during this hour, Bob Waldrop, he's staying with us from the last hour. He's director of the Alabama Office for Watchman Fellowship and author of a profile on Oprah Winfrey for the Watchman Expositor magazine. Bob, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Let's talk with Anthony, who is calling from Maryland. Anthony, welcome to Issues, Etc. Oh, okay, then let's talk with Brian, who calls from Maryland. Brian, welcome.
Hello. My question is based on Donna McClurkin and Cece Winans, and I was wondering, like, because I know Oprah, she talks to Cece Winans and Donna McClurkin and Lizzie Winans, and from my knowledge, they love Jesus. So I'm just wondering, like, how could she talk to these people who have a personal relationship with Jesus and be New Age? Though I believe she is, but what's your comment on that?
All right, Brian, it's a good question. How do we square that circle?
Yeah, Brian, again, as we left off in the last hour, the New Agers believe that every path is a valid path as far as religion is concerned. You can be a Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, it doesn't matter. They believe that all paths, all religious paths, lead to the same place. You'll often hear them describe that as a wagon wheel, if you could picture that. And they would say that the hub of the wheel would be God, and all the spokes for the different religions, and all of those spokes lead to the same God. There's no problem with a New Ager talking to a Christian, and even saying that that Christian could have truth. What they don't like is when the Christian says that that is the only truth, that Christianity is the only truth, the only valid path, and that gets them riled up. Now, of course, we're not privy to any conversations Cece Winans and Donnie McClurkin and others may have had with Oprah. They may be sharing the gospel with her, or they may simply be listening to Oprah talk, and again, she's going to use very many of the same words they use, and they may think that Oprah is in fact presenting a Christian worldview because they haven't paid enough attention to her spiritual record.
Betty Jean listens in San Pablo, California. Betty Jean, welcome.
Hello. Oprah Winfrey, I believe that she was a Christian at one time because her and Gail, they picketed the movie Interview with a Vampire with Tom Cruise.
Oh, really? So, I haven't heard that story.
Well, yeah, they did that. And I don't think that she is one now, though. Because, you know, you're right, she does not define her terms. You know, you have to talk to people these days and get them to define their terms, what they mean by Christianity, because you could be talking to someone that is a New Ager, and they do believe that all roads lead to God, but they don't believe Jesus is the only way and the Son of God.
Right.
Betty Jean, thank you very much. Bob, do you think a lot of her audience is in that vein where they say, look, we know exactly where she stands? She's a New Ager by anyone's definition. But they'll they know where she stands, but still be listening to her and watching her and reading her.
Of course, you know, Todd, we can't speak from having done a poll or anything, but I would just guess that that would not be the case. I would think that I think the New Agers who watch her realize that's where she's coming from. I think as Christians, we are too often very naive, and we want to give the benefit of the doubt, and we so desperately want Oprah to be a Christian that we tend to overlook what she's saying, or we tend to interpret it on our own basis, the way we see those words she uses or concepts that she uses. And I hear Christians more often trying to go out of their way to give her the benefit of the doubt and to be more inclusive of her and bring her into the Christian family.
Betty Jean, hang on the line there, and I'm going to send you a copy of Ron Rhodes' book called The Counterfeit Christ of the New Age Movement. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We've got two free phone lines now, 1-800-730-2727. Next up, Nancy from Central Wisconsin. Nancy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. I quit watching Oprah a while ago for these very these very reasons. I could spot a New Age train of thought in her for quite some time now. But I'm interested in her relationship with Dr. Phil. She was really responsible for getting him going, and he seems to be a Christian to me. He appears to be. I don't know that well, but I do watch his shows, and I just wonder if he's tried to have any influence on her. Do you have any thoughts on him?
Nancy, thank you. Now, this is a good question because Oprah has been a kingmaker to a lot of people, New Agers and those like Dr. Phil. Do you know anything about Dr. Phil's spirituality, and what do you think his influence has been?
Well, I've listened to Dr. Phil a lot, read several of his books, and my guess is I haven't read or heard anything where he's openly talks about his own religious faith. But he comes across as a Christian, and my guess would be he's one of them good old Texas Southern Baptists. He came into Oprah's life, if you'll recall, when she was sued by some of the cattlemen down there in Texas. And during the trial, he came in to give her some help and developed a relationship. And as you said, Oprah is a kingmaker. And if she likes you, then you're probably going to be successful. And she did that with Dr. Phil and began bringing him on the show. And his advice is always very benign spiritually. You won't see anything New Age in what he has to say, any inclinations toward that. He gives just a lot of good common sense advice.
Dorothy is in Maryland. Dorothy, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. First of all, I think that you all should have Oprah on where she can answer her own questions. And second of all, in the past, I've heard her talk about the New Age, but I have seen a change in her talking and spirituality. And you have to remember that around her, then somebody called and said she's around the Wymans and Donna McCutcheon. She's also, if you get to see her with other people, Patti LaVelle, she's seen spirit men. You see her with Shirley Caesar. You see her with a lot of Christian people. So who are we to judge her to say she's not a Christian? We have Christians who call in here really don't act like Christians, but they claiming they're Christian. So you, in my opinion, would be for you to get a one-on-one talk with Oprah, how she really feels, and people grow. You have to remember when she first came on. But that New Age stuff, I stopped watching her too. But then I started back watching her, not judging her.
All right, Dorothy. First of all, let's respond to the allegation that you have to go to Oprah Winfrey personally and ask her what she believes before you can try and determine what it is she does believe, or as in the case of our conversation here, what it is she's been promoting more than what she personally believes.
Well, Oprah has a public record. She is on the air every day. She has given numerous interviews. She has clearly put forth what she believes, what she espouses. And in looking at her programs, you can see the kinds of guests that she has promoted as far as from a religious perspective as well. So you don't have to go to Oprah to say, Oprah, what do you believe about Jesus? If your listeners would like to go to our website at wfial.org, they can click on a video clip of Oprah engaged in a conversation with a Christian in the audience, and I would say this would be pretty much like me talking to Oprah, because the Christian told her that Jesus is the only way. And Oprah said that Jesus could not possibly be the only way, that there must be other ways. In that same program, she quotes Eric Butterworth, a Unity, which is not a Christian church, a Unity teacher, who says, or wrote in his book, Discover the Power Within. By the way, Oprah says this is one of the most important books she's ever read. And in it, Oprah quoting him, he said, Jesus did not come to teach us how divine he was, but to teach us that there is divinity within us. Oprah also on another program said, if what we are taught in Orthodox religion, I mean, I was raised a Baptist. If, in fact, what we are taught when you go to church and you adore Jesus and praise Jesus, that means that Jesus would have been the biggest egotist that ever lived if that was his purpose in coming to the world, to have people adore him and worship him and carry on about him as people do. I think those are pretty clear comments about what she believes about Jesus. Now, we get clouded with Oprah, I think, again, because she does do so many good things. And Todd, in all fairness, and I think Dorothy's right about something she said, when she said Oprah used to do all that New Age and she stopped watching her, in about 94 when Oprah had this spiritual awakening, up until about 98, it was very intensive New Age. Many prominent New Agers, and many that she made prominent, would be on the show as her guest. They would become regulars on the guest, regular segments each week that they would appear.
30 seconds here, Bob.
And be able to present this. But then in the late 90s, Oprah began to make a change about discovering the life within, and then she went through a period called Remembering the Spirit. And she stopped that several years ago, and I'll give you a real quick quote. Time magazine asked her why she moved away from spiritual topics back in the early 2000s. She said, "For several years I did remember in your spirit, and then just one year I said, okay, well, everybody ought to know what their spirit is by now." She didn't stop because she had become a Christian. She stopped because she had accomplished that part of her purpose.
When we come back, more of your phone calls, your questions, and your comments on the pop spirituality
Christ,
of Oprah Winfrey.
Faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Larry Rast, Arthur Just, Carl Fakencher, Kurt Marquardt, Peter Scare, Cameron McKenzie.
You probably recognize these names as regular guests on Issues, Etc. But what else do they have in common? Well, they're all members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dean Wenthe, Walter A. Meyer II, David Scare, Dan Gard, Charles Geeshan, Bill Weinrich.
Have you ever considered the pastoral ministry? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call them 1-800-481-2155. Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
John Pless, Hal Senkbeil, Richard Muller, Roland Ziegler.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. Bob Waldrop is our guest. Our email address here in the studio is issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. I see two free phone lines, 1-800-730-2727. Chris is up next from Perry, Georgia. Chris, welcome. Chris, welcome
Hello?
To the show. Hi.
Oh, I'm on there?
Yes, you are.
Thanks. Hey, appreciate you guys taking my call. Listen, you know, my comment first is, I truly believe that if Oprah Winfrey kind of stepped off her fence with her worldly, sociological, spiritual efforts and streamlined her audience and her own approach to be more Christian-centered and born-again standards that, you know, she could be able to invoke in her production and everything else, I truly believe that you would see kind of the corporate Oprah bubble start to crumble. And I think with that being said, you know, she's going to be weighing her options quite often, you know, maybe more terms in the future. But with her approach being such a mid-grade spiritual approach, she's safe with all audiences. I think where Oprah is going to have a problem is, you know, if she died today, what was more important? You know, the corporate Oprah initiative or her initiative to be perceived as someone who was a godly human being that built her faith on Jesus Christ and wanted to influence others through Jesus. And my question is, how do you feel she what her stance, her vocal position is on the Ten Commandments in the courthouse, on pro-choice and pro-life, and on stem cell research?
All right, let's deal with the first one here, Bob. Someone might say, look, Oprah Winfrey is making a marketing decision. She is obviously, without a doubt, one of the shrewdest businesswomen to walk the face of the earth ever. She simply is. She's a smart woman. She's known how to market herself, her show, her ideas. And she is simply playing to the audience that she knows would have the broadest possible appeal. And maybe what she has on her show doesn't represent what she believes at all or what she promotes.
Well, that wouldn't fit with Oprah's profile that she has presented throughout her career. Even from the very earliest days, she would say that she doesn't know why these things happen to her, except it's just meant to be. She believes that there is some divine imprint upon her life, some divine mission upon her life, and that this is just God's plan that's being worked out. She believes very strongly in what she calls the intention or the power of intention, that you intend these things and these things will happen. And one thing we can say about Oprah is she doesn't mind cutting across the grain. She doesn't mind doing a step out and doing what she thinks is best, even though it goes against what others. And that's been seen throughout her life. Before she went to Chicago, the station that she was on in Maryland, she tells the story there about how the director tried to entice her to stay where she was and offered her more money, more prominent position, told her, if you go to Chicago, you're going to fail. You're going up against the Phil Donahue show. There's no way you can survive there. And she says that she agreed with all that, but she was going to go, and if she failed because there would be something better that would work out. So I don't think Oprah's really concerned at this point. She is a self-made billionaire, the first African-American woman to become a billionaire. I saw a poll just last week that she's number 9 as far as the most powerful woman in America. The others were corporate leaders. You wouldn't know their names, but they had more influence because of the various corporations that they represented. But so Oprah's arrived. I don't think that she's being driven at this point. She's more of a driving force than someone who fears that they need to do something because they're being driven.
Danny is listening in Buford, Georgia. Danny, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a comment and a question. As I was listening to the program for the last half an hour, I was just thinking about Oprah as being maybe more of a tool in the hand of the Lord in the terms of throughout the scriptures, God raised up all sorts of people. And she just seems like to me, I don't really listen to Oprah much, maybe occasionally 2 or 3 minutes here or there. But I was thinking, you know, she seems to be one of those pop culture icons where, as Christians, when we're in the workplace, we can interact with other people who actually do listen to her, and we can use that as a tool to share our faith and share the gospel. And, you know, maybe it's not so important to actually figure out if she's a Christian or not, but she's just a point of reference where God can use that as, you know, here's our faith. This is what Oprah believes. Well, what do you think about this? And so, anyway, that's my comment. Just, you know, what do you think about her just being kind of a tool in the hand of the Lord?
Well, let's see what we can do with that, because that's something you'd have to sort out pretty carefully. First of all, someone might say, like Danny has, she could be a foil, an opportunity to talk with an unbeliever. That would certainly be valid. I am sure you would agree, Bob. But what about the notion that God would allow her to persist and to promote what she promotes simply to give us this opportunity, irrespective of whether or not her eternal salvation is in jeopardy.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's a good comment by Danny that it is something that we can use to take a comment by Oprah and say, you know, Oprah Winfrey says thus and so or believes so and so. What do you think about that? That's a great idea. It's what Paul, I think, would say, seizing the opportunity, as he wrote to the Colossians. Now, whether that's God's divine plan or not, I guess that, you know, could be argued either way depending on how you view the sovereignty of God. Certainly is something that I think we all would agree that God has allowed to happen, and that certainly it is something that could be used for good in that regard. So that's an interesting observation by Danny. I think it's a good approach.
What about the concern that people are actually led astray by Oprah Winfrey, perhaps more than her help?
And if we can, let me kind of dovetail and tie this back into Dorothy's comments or one of the previous callers, because Dorothy talked about getting Oprah on your show. And you should invite Oprah on your show. I'm sure she'll say no to that because that's what's happened in the past. Oprah really doesn't want to discuss her spirituality in public. When she discussed it, it's going to be in a very controlled environment. It's going to be on the Oprah Winfrey television show. And we know that because other organizations, such as Christianity Today, for example, ran a very fair, balanced article about Oprah, and Oprah refused to comment on that. But again, going back to something Dorothy said about how she used to watch or stopped watching and now she started again, I think, Todd, we need to be careful when we talk about Oprah that we don't convey the idea that every day on the Oprah Winfrey Show is Oprah presenting New Age views, because that's just not the case. In fact, it's slacked off very much in the last 3 or 4 years to where very seldom does she even have a religious show now. But these are her core beliefs. These are views that she's expressed. These are views that if you were asking Oprah for her opinion, that she would give. And these are opinions that she still does give in her magazine as well. On her website, you'll find these things taught. She offers guided meditations on her website that take you clearly into a New Age direction or New Age prayer that we could talk about. So we do need to be aware of that, and we need to understand that people can be drawn into this through the power of her influence. So as a Christian, I would hope that, you know, all religions, all philosophies that take people away from Christ would fade away or would be overcome, or that we would challenge as the church, and that we would present the truth and show the error of those views. So I wouldn't want to just say I'm glad they're out there, and I don't think that's what the caller was saying. But we wouldn't want to say they're glad they're out there so God can use them. But as evil presents itself or different views present themselves, as believers, as the church, we're to use that as an opportunity to present truth and to present truth clearly to a world that needs Christ.
Bob Waldrop is our guest. We're talking about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey on Issues, etc. He is director of the Alabama Office for Watchman Fellowship and author of a profile on Oprah Winfrey for the Watchman Expositor magazine. When we come back, we'll be taking your questions and comments, your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Jeff Gibbs of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about why you should support LCMS World Relief.
There is such dire need. Americans are so parochial. We just think about ourselves. We were in Germany last year. The news is international, and you come back to the United States, and all we think about is ourselves. See? But the world is God's world, and God's compassion needs to go out. And LCMS World Relief is one of the great ways that people can actually take what they have and share it with tsunami victims and people starving to death, and they can do it knowing that it will be shared in the name of Christ. Christ will be glorified in LCMS World Relief, and that's why we should support it.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look on the homepage for their logo, or call them at 314-996-1683. 314-996-1683.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Pastor John Pless. He's author of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July, Handling the Word of Truth, Law and Gospel in the Church Today. Pastor Pless, what does it mean to rightly handle the word of truth?
Well, Todd, that's a phrase that comes from Paul's admonition to Timothy when he tells him to study, to show himself approved as one as a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly handling or rightly dividing the word of truth. And there Paul is instructing Timothy and us in terms of how we are to understand and use the Holy Scripture, that the Scriptures contain both law and gospel, two different words from God, and the reader and certainly the preacher of Holy Scripture has to know how to make that distinction.
So what's the danger when this distinction between law and gospel is either ignored or allowed to fall by the wayside?
Well, the real danger is to the gospel itself, that the gospel, which is always the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, always the proclamation and announcement of what God has done for us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is missed, and we hear preaching that focuses on lifestyle, the kind of sermon that speaks of 10 principles of Christian money management or 7 steps to Christian parenting, and that's all in the way of the law, and so people do not hear that consoling and sweet message that we have forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we can rest our confidence in Him alone.
So does even the Christian need to hear the message of law and gospel?
That's right. Christians still need to hear both. We need to hear the law because the old man, the old Adam, is still very much with us, and the law puts the old Adam to death, and because we are still sinners, we always need to hear then that glorious word of the gospel that brings us forgiveness of sins, because forgiveness of sins is not a one-time affair for the Christian. Forgiveness of sins is what sustains the Christian life from start to finish.
For more information about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Handling the Word of Truth, call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or go to our website. The book is on the homepage, issuesetc.org. Handling the Word of Truth is $12.99 plus shipping and handling, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-325-3040. Folks, you can read an article titled The Gospel According to Oprah Winfrey on our website, issuesetc.org. It's under the What's New section. You'll find that article written by our guest in this hour, The Gospel According to Oprah. Bob Waldrop is its author, issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Ann has been waiting a while. Thank you for being patient, Ann. She's listening in St. Louis. Hello.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Sure can. Good evening.
I have a couple of comments and a question. You've talked a lot about, you know, what Oprah has said, and, you know, she does some wonderful things, but it seems to me it's not just, you know, what you say. It's how you live your life as a Christian, and I would just ask questions like, you know, aren't Christian business values and personal values the same? You know, is she married to the man with whom she's living? Does she attend a Bible study or a church regularly? Does she give to Christian missions? Is her life really, you know, as a Christian life as you and I would perhaps define it? I just see some real gaps there. You can't walk both sides of the fence. God says we walk through a narrow door.
And thank you very much. Let's see if we can respond to some of this. Bob, she is obviously a woman of tremendous altruism and humanitarian concern. I think that's sincere on her part, although the motivation for it might be very different from that of a Christian. What do you make of Anne's question there?
Yeah, well, I think she raised some valid issues. And, of course, when she refers to the man she's living with or Stedman that she's lived with for a long time and is regularly asked by people, when are y'all going to get married? And she puts off the question. Also, what about, I think she raised the issue about going to church. If I could just read a quick quote from her former pastor. This is when she moved to Chicago. She did go to church for a while, and she went to Trinity United Church of Christ. And her pastor there, Jeremy Wright, made this comment in 2002, and he said that Winfrey had not been to church in 8 years. Now, if you back that up, 2002 interview, 8 years prior, that puts you to 1994, as you'll recall. She said she had this spiritual change then. And here's what Pastor Wright said. She has broken with the traditional faith. she now has this sort of God is everywhere, God is in me, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to be a part of a body of believers, I can meditate, I can do positive thinking spirituality. It's a strange gospel that has nothing to do with the church Jesus Christ founded. Now, that's her pastor, her former pastor, speaking about where Oprah is. I think those are some very strong words, and he refused to recant those. He said, no, I'm sticking with that. That's exactly where Oprah is today.
Jason calls from Minneapolis. Jason, thank you for being patient.
Hello. Thanks for the show. I want to say, you guys, no one stood up to Oprah like this since the beef industry. I wanted to say two things and get your thoughts on it. First of all, I think Oprah's spirituality is really nothing more than her attempt to anesthetize the part of the soul that holds the inherent knowledge that we're created by a triune God and must live in his grace and mercy. And as far as her show, why people go for it, I think the non-believers go for it because she's holding up this results are not typical or a lottery model. You see the one person who's lost 100 pounds on this diet while everyone else has failed or gained weight, and this could be you. And from a humanistic standpoint, you know, why wouldn't you eat it, hook, line, and sinker? But from the Christian perspective, I think the evangelicals flock to her because her format is a template for their style of evangelical witnessing. You hear the most heart-wrenching personal story, the most emotive and commonly shared experience, and that gets the highest praise and glory as opposed to an objective truth which one can compare notes.
Jason, thank you very much. Tremendous insight there. Bob, your reaction to Jason's comment?
Well, it appears to me Jason should have been your guest tonight. I think that's a great summation.
Here's an email from Hillary in Denton, Texas. She writes this: I have more of a comment than a question. A few months ago, Oprah made a grand appearance here in Dallas, Texas. Her arrival was so anticipated that the media could speak of little else. When the day finally arrived for her to appear at the Dallas Convention Center, it was actually described as the Second Coming. Messiah Oprah had arrived bringing hope and healing to nearly 5,000 fans, some crying hysterically, others fainting upon her touch. It all seemed pretty ridiculous, yet when you mention this to her fans, they react almost as if you have insulted their God and religion. Let's talk about the question raised by Hillary's email, and that is the loyalty of Oprah's fan base.
Well, without question, they're tremendously loyal. That's why, even a little bit in this show, we find that even Christians just don't want to admit that Oprah holds to this New Age pop spirituality. They want to give her the benefit of the doubt that she is, in fact, a Christian because she is such a good person. But it's undeniable that Oprah has made these New Age statements. She has this bent toward the New Age. And it would be very clear, easy for Oprah to clear up this whole thing. All she has to do is on her program say, Jesus is the only way. There is no truth apart from him. There is no salvation found in anyone other than Jesus Christ. There is only one God. That could be cleared up. But the fact is, Todd, she continues to maintain her firm commitment to the New Age principles and teachings and to the New Agers whom she espouses. So as Christians, I think we just have to reach the point that we can say, I'm willing to look at the facts. Right now, we have a tendency, many believers do, to deny the facts and just go with their feelings or go with the experiences that they see before them. And Oprah is very feeling-oriented and very experiential, without question, as I believe it was Jason mentioned prior to this.
I noticed that as well. You know, I work during the weekday program here in St. Louis during the time when Oprah Winfrey is on the air, so I very seldom get an opportunity to watch, even if I was inclined to watch. But there was a time about 6 months ago, I had a week off, and my wife turned on Oprah when she comes on here in St. Louis. And I don't know if I was catching her on a particular day or if this was the stock and trade for the Oprah Winfrey show. I watched it 2 days in a row, and then a third day in that week. Her audience, what Hillary described there about that special appearance in Dallas, seemed to be the way the audience reacts to Oprah every day. Women, all very beautifully dressed and beautifully appointed, in her audience, screaming, tears streaming down their face. Not just applauding, but up on their feet, jumping around. especially when Oprah was giving stuff away, and that's what she's doing nowadays more often than not, giving lots of stuff away. It's more than just feelings, Bob. It seems to be she's touching something that these women find, it's a catharsis. I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, there is a lot of the giveaways, and it's helping people to better themselves and to whatever that may mean, bettering themselves physically through a makeover or through a house or a car. But also, her show now, the whole direction it is about triumph, people triumphing in their lives, overcoming adversity and difficulty. And she brings people on who are in the midst of adversity, and she helps them, and that's a triumph. Or she brings people who have triumphed themselves or through others, and they tell their stories. And it is very emotional, and it's very appealing. You can't help but get caught up on it. These are real-life stories, real-life people, real-life experiences. And it's the same thing that moves many of us as we sit in church and hear the story of how God has worked in people's lives, and that appeals to us. And we want to see people get better and do well. And so these are human appeal stories that draw us and pull us into it. And that's part of the allure of Oprah.
Is there a risk here with the giveaways? And I want to come back to that because as you were answering, I remembered that the last time I watched her, now this was only about a month ago, she actually gave a woman who is in tremendous real need, she gave this woman a whole new house. She was going to go out and buy her, personally, buy this woman a house. But what is the danger here of the generosity that kind of needs to be topped every time? It was cars, and then it's clothes, and now it's a house. What do you think Oprah is trying to accomplish here, beyond just trying to genuinely help someone?
Well, I think Oprah's doing it because of karma. That's my personal view.
What would that mean?
In one of the segments, we were running out of time, we briefly mentioned karma, but karma is a Hindu belief that you reap benefit in a future life for the good that you do in this life, or you will reap consequences for the evil that you do in this life. So the more good that you do in this life, it's almost like making a deposit for good to happen to you in the next life. And Oprah does believe in reincarnation, so I think she's paying forward for her own life. She realizes the good that she does in this life will benefit her in the next life. But also because of the law of karma, you should do good. That should be part of your value system, your objectives. So that's what I think is the basis, Todd, for her doing this. Now, without question, it's also good for ratings. And I know the cynics out there would say that's why she's doing it. So certainly there is that dimension to it as well.
One thing we haven't mentioned here, we've got about a minute and a half before our next break, and that is Oprah's book club. We mentioned before she was a kingmaker, but she also can sell books.
She can.
So what do you make of the content of her book club in terms of the things we've been talking about, the pop spirituality?
Well, you know, Todd, most of the books that she recommends are novels. They're not religious or spiritual in any way. But, you know, she brings them. She's taken many very old novels, like The Grapes of Wrath, and they've been part of the book club, and she's brought them back into the popular culture. So there's a lot of good that comes out of that. But she also recommends some very questionable books, and maybe after the break we can get into that, and let me just mention two or three of those.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Bob Waldrop. 10 more minutes talking about the pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. Bob Waldrop is director of the Alabama Office for Watchman Fellowship. He is author of a profile on Oprah Winfrey for the Watchman Expositor magazine. So what are we saying? Are we saying here in the end that you just, every time she comes on, you should turn her off, or every time you see her interviewed, you should stop listening, or every time you see her magazine on the newsstand, you should pass it right by? We'll answer that question as well in the next 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes of our conversation with Bob Waldrop. 10 minutes left after this break for your phone calls and emails as well, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. That call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. The pop spirituality of Oprah Winfrey. Bob Waldrop is our guest.
Equipping the Priesthood of All Believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It's true, every Christian desires a better understanding of the Bible. What is the key to rightly interpreting, understanding, and applying God's Word of Holy Scripture? As simple and as old-fashioned as it may sound, that key is an understanding of our sin and God's grace in Jesus Christ. In other words, the Bible's message of both law and gospel. For a better understanding of God's Word, check out Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, Handling the Word of Truth, Law, and Gospel in the Church Today. You can find the book at one of two CPH bookstore locations in St. Louis, one at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. Look for the CPH bookstore signs. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July. It's called Handling the Word of Truth, Law and Gospel in the Church Today. You can check out the website for Watchman Fellowship. Simply go to our website, issuesetc.org, and under the section titled Links, you'll find a direct link to our guest, Bob Waldrop, and Watchman Fellowship, or call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, and we'll give you the phone number and mailing address for Watchman Fellowship, 1-800-737-0172. Bob, before the break, you teased us a bit here on some of the books of questionable content that have been promoted and sold, because she does sell the books when she makes them part of her book club through Oprah's book club.
That's right. Yeah, let me mention one. We've mentioned the author, Gary Zukav, in his book called The Seed of the Soul. Here's what Oprah says about it. The Seed of the Soul is the single most powerful book I have ever read aside from the Bible. If there was just one book on the planet that I could recommend, it would be this book. Now, that's an interesting comment, I think. So if Oprah really carries the influence that we believe she does, and you're part of Oprah's book club, or you're a follower of Oprah's website, and you go here and you read that Oprah says, this is your opportunity to say, Oprah, if I could only get one book to read, what would it be? She said it would be The Seed of the Soul. And if we do, we begin to find out about this New Age philosophy that we've talked about. Another is A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. This is nothing more than a book that's a primer on the New Age. And Oprah says that this book helped her greatly realize there are only two emotions, love and fear, and she'll talk about that quite often. But again, it's more than just about love and fear, Todd. It's also about your divinity. You're reaching your full potential as God. Another she recommends is Discover the Power Within You by Eric Butterworth that we mentioned. And about this book, and this is a very telling quote, I think. She said, this book changed my perspective on life and religion. Now think about this. This book changed my perspective on religion. I think we can see, and she refers to this book quite often, that Oprah probably was following some of the Christian values and teachings until she began to read these New Age books. And obviously she's saying my perspective on religion changed. She said her favorite quote in this book is, but the greatest mistake we make is believing that we are only human. We are human in expression, but we are divine in creation and limitless in potentiality. Well, my friend, we are not limitless in potentiality. We are finite beings. There are limitations for us. But Oprah doesn't believe that because she believes, as she said, we are divine in creation. We are God, and because we're God, we have limitless potential.
Which is more concerning to you? We've talked a lot about Oprah Winfrey's pop spirituality and what she promotes on her program through publications, but the fact that Christians sometimes who watch Oprah Winfrey just can't tell that they're dealing with someone who is New Age, does that say more about the state of Christian discernment than really about what Oprah Winfrey believes.
Yeah, I think it does. Kate Maver wrote an article about Oprah, and she's got a great quote. She said, "Christian apologists face the tremendous challenge of presenting the logic and truth of the gospel to a growing group of people who appear to be impervious to logic and truth." We have become a feeling society, an experiential society, and I think that is definitely transferred over into the church. And because of that, we find people divorcing themselves more and more from sound biblical doctrine and going more based on their feelings or their experiences.
So when people hear the words spiritual or God or even the name Jesus occasionally uttered by Oprah Winfrey, what should they be looking for? What should they be listening for?
Well, you need to make sure that you understand what Oprah means when she uses those terms and whether or not she means the same thing as you do. That's what we tried to do on the program tonight, and we've tried to do in our writings. This is not to say Oprah's a bad person or a wicked person or an evil person and that she's intentionally trying to mislead you. All those things could be true or not true. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is you need to be alert to what's going on in our culture today, and that there are those out there who are presenting a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different message, and they're packaging it in very alluring containers. And as a church, we need to be alert to that.
Are you saying that Christians shouldn't watch Oprah Winfrey or Reader magazine?
No, I think that's a choice that every Christian has to make. Again, most of the shows that Oprah does have nothing to do with religion whatsoever. They are very good, entertaining programs. But I think we need to be discerning, and we need to look for opportunities, if we are going to watch the show, to use that, as one of your listeners mentioned, in a very positive way to speak to the culture. You know, Jesus said that we are not of the world, but we are certainly in the world. Well, while we're in the world, we need to be careful, and we need to be alert, and we need to be discerning. So if you choose to watch Oprah, if you choose to read her magazine, just understand that she comes from a different worldview than that of the Christian.
Is Oprah Winfrey and her pop spirituality, her success and her ready acceptance by such a broad audience, simply a symptom of something that's going on in the culture and, yes, even the church, that should concern us even more deeply than the particulars of Oprah Winfrey?
Todd, I think so. I don't know what your position is on that, but I do. I believe that we've become less discerning as the church. Some recent polls show that 44% of people in America believe that the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and the Quran all have the same truth in them. We are becoming more and more a culture that just can't distinguish one quote truth from the other. We're buying into this concept that you know, all is the same. We need to be very loving and tolerant is a word that you hear. And so in our attempt to be tolerant, we're allowing all kinds of untruth, all kinds of false claims to infiltrate even into the church, and we need to be alert to that.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free, complimentary copy of our Next Issues Etc. journal, or to help Issues Etc. defend the faith and teach the truth by making a tax-deductible gift, a credit card gift. 1-800-737-0172. No gift is too small. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That address again, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Bob Waldrop, thank you for being our guest tonight.
Thank you, Todd.
Bob Waldrop is director of the Alabama Office for Watchman Fellowship. He is author of a profile on Oprah Winfrey for the Watchman Expositor magazine. Well, that really, at the end of our conversation, brings it to the point. I do agree with Bob. I think that is Oprah Winfrey, as concerning as her spirituality and what she has promoted and continues to promote today, is the deeper concern for Christians and for the church ought to be, well, it's really twofold. One, the broad lack of discernment that would allow Christians to watch Oprah Winfrey, and not because she's a bad person and not because she doesn't do good things, but simply unable to hear what she's actually saying. They hear God and they think, wow, that must be my God, the God I worship on Sunday morning. They hear spiritual and they think, well, what's wrong with spiritual? Spiritual is good, isn't it? That is reflective of a basic lack of discernment, being able to tell the difference between one quote-unquote truth and the truth. You see, that's the danger of false teaching and error as it presents itself in the world and in the church. Sounding like the truth. It is counterfeit. A counterfeit has to sound or look like the real thing in order to deceive. Which is why discernment is the gift that the Holy Spirit gives the church, as that Holy Spirit guards us in the truth, the real truth, the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sinners. This is what gets lost. Now, the second point, well, the church becoming just more like the Oprah Winfrey show. The church saying, heck, if it works for the likes of Oprah Winfrey, the touchy-feely approach, the appeal to the general God, to the general spirituality, it's all good, and open tolerance of any truth you want to bring to the table. Folks, don't be surprised to find that on the Oprah Winfrey show. One might even say that's where that stuff belongs. It doesn't belong in the Christian church. Not by any means. What belongs? Only the message of sin and God's answer to sin in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.